Okay, let's get started. Hey guys, this is Hannah and you are listening to the Hannah Farooqui Show. Today we have with us Kiran Bedi connecting us from India. Kiran is an author, meditation practitioner and a truly amazing content creator on self-awareness and mindfulness. Today, Kiran and I will be exploring on setting up healthy boundaries in terms of our personal and professional lives. Welcome to the show, Kiran. It's absolutely a delight to have you on the show.
I am honored to be on your show. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you so much for coming and, you know, giving your time.
My pleasure.
So Kiran, when we talk about boundaries, like how do you define a boundary? What are boundaries?
This is something I have struggled with quite a bit. So boundary is like, where do you define what's you? And it's kind of like, where do you separate yourself from another person? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, your physical boundary is like when you see your body in the mirror, you exactly know where your physical body is, right? Mm-hmm. You can see your eyes, your hair, your torso and the likes. But when it comes to, so you're very clear, this is where I end, like my body ends, and this is where someone else's body is. So the physical mm-hmm. boundary is pretty clear. But when it comes to emotional boundary, I think when we talk about boundaries, my mind always goes to emotional boundaries because that is something we can't see. Mm. And when you see something, it's difficult. Like, how do you tell someone, hey, this is where my emotional boundary starts and this is where it, and you're welcome to operate within that realm. Mm. See? So like when you're having a fight with someone, you know, they're going to push you back, then you're going to push them back. So you kind of have a boundary to work around. Mm. But when it comes to social boundaries, I think so many of us struggle with it because we don't know where to push back. And right. A lot of people talk about boundaries or become aware of boundaries. And I know I'm sure one of them, when they have been pushed to such a degree that they are like, what the heck is going on? Mm. And then you find out, hey, you need to speak up. Mm. I mean, and then I'm like, why didn't I need to speak up? Because your boundaries, especially your emotional boundaries, are not visible to people. You know, you can only know your boundaries if you are clear about them. Mm. It's kind of like you can only give someone to the extent that you have. So first of all, you be clear about who you are, what you stand for. Mm. And when you are clear about that, then you can start establishing, okay, you know what, certain things. So let's take an example. I'm always big on example because I don't understand the concepts without example. Mm. So let's say I get angry easily about something, about my weight. Let's take that example because a lot do it, you know, and let's say so-and-so says, hey, you're fat. Mm. And then you tell them, hey, I'm working on it. Mm. I don't need to be reminded. So please don't say that, right? That's a form of establishing boundary that I am comfortable with it. And you say it nicely. Right. But a lot of times what happens is that people keep saying, like a lot of times I think they don't even, it's not like they intentionally, for the most part, want to put you down. But sometimes it just so happens that, you know, you're in a group setting and a friend says something which is just so like, hey, where did that come from? And I think that really happens. Don't tell other people, hey, this is not okay, or this is okay. Or, you know, you talk about like, you know, how much I'm making or how much bonus I got and the likes. And I know icky about like whether they want to talk about money because that's another sensitive topic. Mm. So I think it all starts with being aware, and that is where self-awareness, because these are the things that no one can tell you, because we all have had different experiences growing up. Mm. And that to a large degree dictates what you are going to be okay with and what you're not going to be okay with. Mm. Like I grew up in a South Asian culture. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, like hanging out with, say, guys when I was in college was like, no, right? Mm. But for my American friends, it was like no big deal, right? I mean, that's small example that I'm taking, but it really starts with, you know, someone saying something to you. Maybe for me, it's a big deal, but for someone else, So which is why, you know, that self-inquiry, that awareness, you have to bring in. And unfortunately, you know, when everything is going fine and dandy in life, that is like the last thing you want to think about, because hey, who's interested in self-awareness when, you know, all my ducks are in a row? But but then at least for me, my life sucked. And I went through into the path of meditation. And I think when you're sitting in silence, like really, there's nothing else going on other than you looking at, oh my God, like I think like this, or maybe this is how I feel like. And I think if someone is listening to it and they have absolutely no idea, or maybe they want to explore this more, start paying attention to your feelings. Because your feelings are like your ally. They are going to tell you, like when you talk to someone, you know, it's kind of like when someone pushes your boundary, you like I'll give you an example. Like, so when someone pushes my boundary, my brain doesn't go like, hey, that person just pushed your boundary. But my first typical response is anger. Like, how dare you?
Right.
Or it's a sadness. Oh my God, I can't imagine this person said this. Or the like.
Right.
So if you take your feeling as a clue and just get curious, like, why did I feel this way? What was about this thing that got me triggered? And then backward, not only it's going to reveal your belief, and then you can decide what you want to tell this person. Maybe it's something you need to change in yourself, and then more power to you if you can, you know, figure that out. But maybe you decide this is, maybe, you know, someone say something and it hits into your trauma, which all of us have, regardless. No matter how good or not so good upbringing someone has had, it's just by the virtue of being a human being, I would say majority of us, you know, have a trauma in one shape, form or another. And so a lot of times, you know, when you hit into that trauma memory, you know, you have a reaction, and then you can't get over it in a day. You know, it's going to take time to unravel. And until it happens, you know, you need to establish boundaries, right, around that. And be and really be honest with yourself and have compassion for yourself, and be willing to say to yourself, you know what, I'm working through this. It's going to take time, and that's okay. And then be also able to communicate to that. Because a lot of people think there are two parts to this. One, to be clear about where you are. And then very clear and upfront with another person. And I think majority of the time when people are on same page as you, or they want to hang around you, they will understand. But if you are constantly getting pushback, you say, no, I can't do this, and these are my reasons, and the other person keeps saying no, 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 then you have to take a stand for yourself and be like, no, you can't push me around. And I think a lot of people think that saying no is like being mean, or then you're no longer a nice person. I personally feel saying no is like the best thing you can do for yourself and for another person. Because I'll take honesty any day over someone being half-heartedly into something. Because
also, Kiran, I think maybe in the professional setting, maybe it becomes a bit easy, because you are very clear about what are your responsibilities and what are other person's responsibilities. But when it comes to personal life, be it our parents, be it our siblings, be it our spouse and kids, it's very hard to explain them, because, you know, growing up, they have seen us growing, and we have seen them growing. And you were not like this as a child. You were not like this when you were growing up. What happened to you all of a sudden? Why are you talking about like this? Like, how do we explain them?
It happens all the time to me with my mom, and I just have to keep repeating it over and over again. This is not okay. This will not fly by me. And you know, for me, it's also been easy because I've been away from home for so long. And then I think finally now she's like, she gets it. When I need time, I need time. Because Because when I am like totally present with her, mm-hmm. and when I don't, like, I need downtime a lot. Like, it's just the way I process stuff.
Yeah.
I am kind of those people, I really need my alone time. Like, it's just how my brain works. And I know that now. I can't be around 100 people as much as I love people. But if I'm going through something, I'm going to be alone in my room. It's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And I tell her. And so when I'm up and cheery and everything is going great, those are the times I tell her. I said, when I have to process, I need alone time. Mm-hmm. And then I said, and during those times, I don't have the mental faculty or the bandwidth to tell you what's going on. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm just going to say one sentence. I can't talk. Right. And you just trust me. And I think now it has happened so many times, she just gets it. I'm like, okay, I can't talk. That's like the code word. And I think it just boils down to repetition. And you know, people change. You grow, right. You evolve. And that's the beauty of it.
Okay. And also, this one thing I also wanted to bring up. Maybe when our parents are getting older, they need a lot of our time. And we are like, no, wait, we want to process something, you know, wait, I'll get back to you. Maybe not today, maybe another week, maybe another month. How do you deal with that? They want our time and we want a break. And how do you manage that balance?
I think I always feel like I can only give someone my very best when I am in a position to have that energy and space. Like, you know, I can be talking to you, but if 50% of me is not even present, then you're going to get a very diluted version of what I can bring. So for me, it's about, for me, what has really helped me is making an intention to have a very consistent meditation. Without that, so for me, meditation is what keeps me grounded, and then I can be for other people. So the times when I go, you know, off my meditation practice, mm-hmm. I see a connection on how it impacts my relationships. And now it's like, okay, I can't, I have to meditate. There's just no way around.
So can you jot down a few things to all our listeners? Like, how do we set our boundaries? Like you said, to know by knowing our thoughts and feelings. Maybe that is the time, you know, maybe it must be PMSing. Maybe it could be, you know, someone else's frustration that you are taking out on someone, you're venting out on someone. Like, how do we actually know these are our actual thoughts and these are our actual feelings? This is how I am feeling for this. This is not coming out of nowhere. This is not my boss frustration that I'm venting out on you. How do you identify those thoughts and feelings? What are those data points, if you say?
I am so with you. And that is such an excellent question. Oh, it makes my heart smile when you ask me this. Because just like you, I'm also a very scientific, data-driven person. And like, this is not my background. So for me, like, I really took this on like a scientist. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to figure things out. And so for me, what really helped was journaling. Mm-hmm. Because I kept a fairly consistent practice. And I would journal every single day. And I think that was the first time I got present to how I really think. Mm-hmm. So now, when I have thoughts, I'm like, no, this is not my thought. And I think just that exercise alone, mm-hmm. to know what are your thoughts and what are not your thoughts. Mm. I think you can do that. You are way on your way to having excellent EQ. Mm. So that is one part of the equation. Mm-hmm. Second to that, when you journal every day, you start to get to know the person, to know yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Today I feel this and today I feel that. And then after 30 days, you kind of get a sense of like, oh, you know, this is how I feel. Mm-hmm. Like overall, I'm upbeat. But when five things happen, they take me down. Mm-hmm. And when they take me down, this is how I went out. Mm-hmm. So kind of map out in your head, or I used to have it on post-it notes. what I do when I'm down.
Right.
And so for me, I'm a very visual person. Like I like to see, okay, what are the things that are taking me down?
Wow.
And I would write them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are the things that I can do to counter them? And even to this day, it's not like you do this exercise and you're good to go for life. No. Because as you are changing, you know, new things will crop up.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a new lens to look at it. Even now, right. When I'm down, like, oh, it happened like 5 days ago. I mean, I was so down in the trenches. It's not even funny. I felt I hit yet another bottom. I was like, really, you know, like after so many rock bottoms, here's another one. So go figure.
Right.
And I was like, okay, what are we going to do? And you know, that's a part I love about my brain, because I'm like, okay, I get that we are down in the trenches. So how the heck am I going to get back up? So what works for me is like having a consistent meditation practice.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I just figured a few things out, what I was going to do. And so, you know, so you have to kind of know what is that hook for you
mm-hmm.
that's going to get you out of the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
Because into the swampland of your soul, it's going to happen throughout your life. But what tool are you going to use to get out of it?
Okay, and right.
Things for different people. For me, meditation works like a magic bullet.
Right.
I meditate, I'm the happiest person alive.
Mm.
And when I'm not, I am the worst person to be around. Mm. Like for me, it's really like day and night difference.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is why, again, you know, I keep harping back to self-awareness and really getting to know yourself, because I can give you ideas, but I can't go inside your head and say,
right. Hey,
to do painting, or you need to do XYZ.
Hmm.
That part you need to do for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like what is going to
right.
Because when down, when our emotions are running you know, all over the place, to soothe your emotional body, like it's again, it's going to be different for different people.
Right.
For
right.
Some right. For other people, it's reading a book. And for some time, it's just sleeping. And sometimes it's binge watching some mm-hmm. crazy show. Who
right.
knows, right?
Right?
So you have to find that hook. Hopefully, it's uplifting, because, you know, you can also drink through all your problems. And that's not very uplifting in the bigger picture of things. Because, yes, you can do it once, but you can't keep doing it for the rest of your life. You do eventually want to find something which is... which uplifts you
mm-hmm.
and somehow makes you a better person
mm-hmm.
in one way or another. Again, you know, again, it all goes back to resonance.
Right.
And I have a list of things that I read, or I'll have these small quotes from different people. I have it in a folder. Oh, mm-hmm. when I'm down in the trenches, I can do that. So yeah. Oh, I have a buffer field created. All the things that I can, and I tap into that ever so often, because sometimes it can get, you know, you do feel like, especially with so many things changing in the world right now,
mm-hmm.
it can feel quite and mm-hmm. You know, and especially for, we are not really taught to deal with our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I always talk about your body having different layers, mm-hmm. like physical, mental, emotional, yeah. and spiritual.
Right.
And, you know, like from one, you're growing physically, whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You go to school, your mental body is now getting a mm-hmm. workout every single day. But when it comes to your emotional body, after 7 years of age, there's really not much happening there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take like these 4 identical figures, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say you take 4 apples, they are not going to be representing 4 different bodies. They are not going to be of same size and
right,
shape.
Right.
Right. Because you have given enough workout to physical body and mental body, but not so much to the emotional or spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so, really growing emotionally,
mm-hmm.
and it is a kind, it takes effort. And mm-hmm. and the best place to start is to find things that are nurturing to you.
Right, so you mean like when you are in distress, when you are in calamity, when you are also enjoying your achievements, so there are certain responses for each emotion. That's how it works.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you are high and up and about, you don't really care because you feel like you got the whole world, underneath your wings, kind of like that. But when, I think especially when you're in distress, how do you come back up? And I think that is where, when you don't have the tools, it is so easy to feel depressed. Like how do you bring yourself back every single day to say, you know, today is going to be the best day of my life. You know, I want to live this day. And so when we talk about mental health, and so many of us struggle with this, what is that thing that's going to remind you that, babes, you got wings to fly, and you know your best is yet to come. And I think every day, when, at least for me, which is why I'm saying, what is nurturing to me, what reminds me of that vision, for me it's my meditation practice. You know, it helps me, and one of the reasons I love it is because there's always something new to look forward to. Like, meditation practices are alike. And I'm just a very curious person by nature. So half of the time I'm just, you know, like showing up for meditation because I was like, what am I going to find out today? So I really, you know, mindset of like a scientist, that, I'm going to try out this and then see what happens. And I'm going to try it for 2 hours or 3 hours or, you know, whatever random number I make up. So I look at it that way. I look at it like, what is that perfect equation that's going to give me that liftoff? Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's a hidden trial method. I still haven't figured that equation out, but I'm well on my way, right? So you just never give up, you know? So just be curious. Okay, what is it that's going to keep me up and up? And this is not to say that you should never be down. I think my most, the most realizations I've ever had and the most understanding I've ever received about anything and even myself has been during those down points. I've been just booted and I'm just like down on my knees and wondering, what the heck am I doing?
Right.
So I don't like, I'm not afraid, let me put it this way, to offer those like peaks and valleys, so as to speak. Like, I am not afraid of being down.
Right.
But I think what I'm trying to share is that when you get curious, okay, I'm down, how are we going? So first of all, what did I learn? I always
Right.
What did I learn? And I think there is a blessing in every situation, no matter how much it sucks.
Absolutely. Right.
And I will add one thing here, that you can only come to the realization of the lesson underneath all this chaos that's going on when you are neutral. Like, I was so angry. I just thought I was going to burst into flames. It didn't happen. But when that anger subsided and when I got neutral, then I was like, okay, now I'm neutral. What's the lesson here? And once I learned the lesson, it was like, I picked up my things, I packed my suitcase, and I was like, okay, we move up, right? So don't be afraid of being down, but be afraid of staying there. Stay there for 1 week, 1 month, whatever time you need to take, so be it, take it. Sometimes my best uncovering about my own psyche or how things work out or, you know, fill in the blanks happens when I am, you know, in those dark places. Some of my best poetry comes when I'm so down. Right. Sometimes I wonder if only someone knew where the place was.
Because,
you know, it's really a moment of survival at that point. And then you just transcend every single thing. At least that's the way it happens for me. Some of my best paintings happen when I am so down. Some of my best poetry, like if I were to write, someone asked me, would you be happy or sad? I was like, sad. Because I was like, way too productive during my time. No one wants to be that way. I would be lying, but I'm just saying, you know, there's a lot of goodness that you can tap into it. But I think it really goes also back to being curious about emotions. Like I was one of those people that I used to think only happiness is a good emotion and rest
of everything else. Right. So I can so relate to this.
So I have come from that background, okay? And so every single time I would be down, I would be like, Jesus Christ, I must have done something wrong. That's why bad things are happening to me, and on and on and on. And until, you know, I realized that 99% of spiritual ascension, growing spiritually, is emotional clearing. So if ascension is 99% emotional clearing, that's when I got really interested. Because for me, growing spiritually means the world to me. Until then, I didn't even want to look at emotions. I was like, to hell with emotions. I just want to focus. I just want to get to my, you know, that end goal. Like we all have, you know, like very, because emotions are all touchy-feely, and who the hell wants to deal with them? They're like so freaking about, right?
Right, absolutely.
Right, and yet the richness that emotions give. So, and you know, it really boils down to bringing the heart and the head together. Because when you do that in equal quantity, you really have magic, because then you are neutral. Because you can't talk about, I mean, this is all from my personal experience. You know, you can't talk about having intuition without tapping into your feelings. And can you imagine living a life without intuition? I mean, it would be one big mess.
Right.
So, you know, it's like we don't want to feel sad, and yet we also want to be intuitive. Like, it's like, I don't want to put my hands dirty and bake this pie, but I want to eat pie. Do you see? It doesn't work both ways. You want to get your hands dirty and figure out, okay, well, where is this emotion? Where are you coming from? Maybe you're coming from a different life, which really I tapped into that. I felt so much anger. I was like, how can a person be so angry? And then I kind of had some experiences by sitting in meditation where I literally felt that I was tapping into other lifetimes. Even more curious. I was like, I want to heal them.
Also, Kiran, how do you think one can identify their authentic self and adaptive self? You know, with so many ideologies, with so many concepts. Oh my God, is it really, where am I in all of these things? Where are my values? Even if you, you know, try to tap in your authentic self, you know, is this what my values are? You know, you really have those second and third thoughts. Okay, I don't think, where did this come from? Maybe I watched a video, maybe I watched someone's story or someone post, I think this is coming from there. But how do you figure out your authentic self between the world of adaptive self? Like, how do you figure out that?
You know, what has worked for me was like, where am I spending majority of my time? Over like say 2 years, 3 years, and what am I naturally drawn to? Like, even if no one gave me money, like what would I do? So I think a lot of us get tripped up because we bring money into the equation. So let's just put money on the side for a moment. Talk about, what do you enjoy? What comes natural to you? What would you want to do every single day, even if no one was watching? So let's start there. And then be really honest with yourself, right? Like, don't try to sugarcoat, don't try to paint a picture which is not true. So we start there. Again, you know, so this was some of the things that I did. And then I created one video on YouTube about how to find your values. And then you know you can put a link to that if that's okay in the description.
Mm-hmm.
And in that video, I shared, you know, I came across this book that is written by Christian Sherry. She's an amazing life coach and author on LinkedIn. And I interviewed her. That's how I came to know about her book. And I read her. I read her book. And she, what she does is, and I'm just giving like a brief overview. So she had listed about, I think, 40 to 50 values that people have in their life, like most people can identify with. And she said, shortlist 10 out of them. And then out of those 10, rank them. What would be number 1, 2, 3, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I did that exercise, and then she said, build your career around that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see?
Right.
So until 2 years ago, I had no freaking what I was going to do. I'll be very honest with you. I was in IT, and then I can't be doing this any longer. And then when I did that exercise, for me, what came up was spirituality. I was like, Jesus Christ, it had been there long, but it took me this exercise to really figure out what's going on here. So what, you know, it's like obvious and obvious, because we are just so in our mind looking every single where, like something will drop from the sky and tell us, hey, this is what you're supposed to be doing. No, it doesn't happen like that. I wish it did, you know. But so once I identified what my number one value was, then it's easy. I mean, things fell in place a much more quicker, and it just felt like divinely guided. Because then I knew what I had to build my work around. And then it just became easy, because I wanted to have conversations around emotional resilience, because it was something I really struggled with. And I was like, well, if I'm struggling with, I'm sure there's a lot more people are also struggling with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these are the things that I never went to a therapist, but I have friends who had been to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, since I love to read and figure things out, like I would share with them, oh, this is what I'm struggling with. And they would give me pointers.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like snippets of what could work. Mm-hmm. And then I would go back and do my research. And so this is how I learned. And I wished, and I used to think like, oh, you don't have to go to therapy. You can figure this all out on yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just that you need to put in the work.
Mm-hmm.
But one of those things that, you know, like, you know, I also feel like when you struggle a lot, then you're just as committed to find a solution, because in a way that's going to keep you away. So for me, it was really like that. I was like, I need to figure this out. And, and through that process, through that curiosity, through that inquiry, I just like tapped into all these things, because like I really feel my feelings very intensely. Because for the longest time, they were just hush, hush, because I would always be studying. So when I finally had the space to unravel them, I was like, holy, like smokes, like that's a lot. So which is why, you know, now I'm like way more mindful of where I'm spending energy, with whom am I spending.
Right.
I can't put down a lot of people.
Right.
Because too much for my energy, like it, much for my body to take that kind of energy. So you know, if it wasn't for you know, wanting to befriend my emotions and wanting to unravel the mystery, I would not be here,
right?
You know, and this is not to say that I have figured everything out. I'm learning every single day, and the more I learn, I'm like, oh my god, I don't even know anything.
Exactly. Learning is a journey, like it's throughout the life. Like it said, you know, knowledge is from cradle to grave. It's like that.
Absolutely. But end of the day, you know, if something is making you a better person, then I think it's worth pursuing.
Mm. So Kiran, like we spoke earlier as well, once we identify that, that was off the record that we spoke. So now to all our listeners, once we identify and understand our what our boundaries are, how do you think we can set these in our personal lives, among our parents, siblings, spouse and children, and of course, like relatives and all, like when, once you make that circle a bit bigger. So do you think it's important to set boundaries with our loved ones? And if so, how and why do you think?
You can go with the laundry list, like, hey, this is my list and this is my boundary, so back off. You know, it doesn't work.
Right, exactly.
But it's written on a moment-to-moment basis.
Right.
And we have to say, you know, I'm not this, or and be very clear, like, who are the people, like with your immediate family, it's one thing, but with your extended family or with your relatives, mm-hmm. what are the people you want to have and why? Ask yourself, do I want to be around this person? No, maybe no. Why? Well, you don't want to be around them. Well, they have absolutely no integrity. So I will always be asking myself whether to say something to them or not. So, but those are the values that I care about, right? For me, integrity is very high on the list. If you can be in integrity, I don't want to have a relationship with you, even if you're a relative. But that's just very personal to me. Because if I can't trust you, then what kind of relationship can we possibly have, right? So those are the things that, again, you know, going back to that list that I was talking about.
Right.
What is it that ticks you? Like, what is it that is a no-brainer for you? Like, if you don't see this in a relationship, mark, like a cross there. No, this person is not invited. And I think the more you are clear, like I'm very clear about who I'm not interacting with. And this is not coming from a place of judgment, but this is really coming from a place of discernment, that these are the kind of people that literally take my energy, suck my energy, siphon my energy. And I would like to protect my energy because I have a lot of things that I could be doing with it.
Right.
Because your time is precious. You know, for me, any time I would get, like, there are be doing that. If you're the kind of who is going to tell one lie after another, or who's just going to, and is it my thing? Maybe no, not at this point.
Right. So that's in a personal setting. Like, what about in a professional setting? How can we be aware about this in our professional setting? And what are some of the things that we need to be mindful of, because, you know, especially maybe for the seniors it gets easier, but for the freshers, once you are starting out your career, you are often said, no, you have to listen to what your senior says. And you know, that's where a lot of things result in exploitation, say, or, you know, you don't respect the boundaries of your juniors. Like, how do you understand that? Or maybe we get pushed into the corner in a professional setting. Like, how do you think we can identify those things, and how do you think that and we can deal in the best way possible?
I think it really, first of all, are you aligned with what you're doing? I think it really starts with that, because a lot of time when we talk about someone right out of college, you know, how don't even know, like, what do they stand for? So I think if you know that this is the field that you want to make your mark in, I think it would be a great starting point to have that. Am I aligned with what I'm doing? And I think a lot of times something, you know, when you're right out of college, you're so much into just wanting to get that paycheck. Sometimes we don't realize what are the values a company stands for, because not are created equal. And this is something I was totally oblivious to, and I wish I had the understanding and the wisdom at that time to make a decision, because my choices would have been very different. So I think it really boils boils down to are the values of the company and the people that you interact with every single day. Mm-hmm. Because it really starts with the value of what a company stands for.
Mm.
Because that is clearly fleshed out, then there is hope, or so I feel.
Mm.
Because when someone is very clear about what they stand for, what their mission statement is, then chances are their behavior is going to mirror that mission, that desire of what they want to create in the world.
Mm.
Like say someone is a computer engineer and they're working with a software that's, I don't know, that's going to create voting machines, okay? And this person has absolutely no interest whatsoever. They don't mind doing the computer work, but they would rather be, let's say, doing for education as an example.
Right.
Do you see? So finding out, again, I'm not saying you have to have every single thing charted out, but mm-hmm. it's good to ask yourself, is this something I feel passionate about?
Mm.
Is this something I would like to do?
Mm.
And if that is a yes, you know, like start there, I would say.
Mm.
Then it comes down to, okay, then we can have one-on-one conversations with people, with manager.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times when we are starting out, especially as a fresher, you know, unless you have, it has been drilled into you to have very, what is that word? You know, like, I think freshers a lot of time, they don't take a stand for themselves because they think they're still fresh in the
industry. Right.
And who's going to ask them? Mm-hmm. But you know, but a right is always right and a wrong is always wrong.
Right.
And it really goes back to being comfortable saying no.
Mm-hmm.
And then a very kind answer to why you're saying no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know I'm a fresher, but you know, what you have said does not work for me because I have this thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And a very reasonable manager will understand that. Right? And if it doesn't, then you change, you know, is this worth staying or is it not worth staying?
Right.
But I think if a culture is such that it's just sucking the energy and soul out of you, you might as well go to a different group. And when you are clear, it won't be too hard to attract right people.
Mm.
I mean, you know, in last year, wow, that was last year, I did these series on LinkedIn about walking into the unknown.
Mm.
And I had no idea who I was going to interview. But it just so happened that the right people came along.
Mm.
And it was just such a beautiful manifestation. And, you know, one of the guys I interviewed, his name is, I'm forgetting his name right now, but he's a CEO of a company. And I was just thinking to myself, and as much as those series took a lot of time in writing and creating and going back and forth, but I was just thinking to myself, if I was in IT, I would never be able to tap into this opportunity.
Right.
So I think what I'm trying, what I'm going back to is that when you are in something with all your heart, that has a very different resonance. It has a very different energy to it.
Mm.
And the other people feel that energy.
Mm.
I would have no access to, you know, like I'm talking in normal language. I haven't been writing for like 20 years, you know, I'm literally starting out. Mm. And, you know, like I really got like some of the best people that I could interview and just hanging out with them for, you know, 1 or 2 hours, like I literally felt I had been transported to another universe. And the best part is that all of them are my friends now.
Right.
Like, so I can literally pick up a phone and say, hey, what's up? So I think, so going back to, you know, be in it for the right reason, and then the opportunity and the right people will come along.
Mm.
So especially, even if you're a fresher, you know, like don't get so hung up on the money. The money is going to follow you when you genuinely do your work, because the other people are going to feel that energy.
Mm-hmm.
When we go to YouTube, like, let's say a makeup, because that is such a popular field. Like there's this guy, I think his name is James Charles. He's really cute. And he does makeup videos, and he has about 4 million people subscribed. Mm-hmm. Not that there aren't other guys making videos, but it's just something about his energy, which is so bubbly, so infectious, so warming, so welcoming, that you're like, you know what? I just want to see him.
Right.
I may not do this makeup, I never will, but I just want to see him. And I think it's that energy that people feel when you're in it, because that's the only place you want to be.
Right.
And I feel as a fresher, if someone had told me that, it would have been really wonderful. But better late than never. This is one advice we give, because then it's everything else just falls in place. You don't even have to bother about like boundaries, because boundaries come typically in the equation when you're angry, when you're pissed off, when you are, you know, delving into all those negative emotions, and those negative emotions are coming up because, you know, a part of you is doing the work that you would rather not.
Also, Kiran, so far we spoke about, you know, what from victim perspective, okay, somebody is crossing my boundaries. But what if, let's talk about being on the other side of the story. And what if we are crossing somebody's boundaries? What could be, how are we supposed to identify their boundaries? How are we supposed to respect their boundaries? So what are your thoughts on this?
You can't, because unless the other person communicates with you, just like you need to communicate with them, they need to communicate with you. You know, again, it goes back to the emotional boundaries are invisible. When we say emotional boundary or boundary, it's one of the same thing. It's invisible. So I don't know, you know, like you're wearing a headscarf as an example, right? I say, oh, it looks weird. I just make this comment in passing, right? For me, it's not a big deal. But for you, it's like, oh my goodness, how dare she, right? I'm just giving an example. But again, as a stranger, I have no idea.
Right.
Do I want to intentionally hurt you? No. And then instead of going into that victim mode, you need to stop me and say, hey, Kiran, maybe you don't know this. This actually is a very big deal for me. And I'm actually hurt by what you said. And I'm like, oh my God, I didn't know that. I'm so sorry. You know, like, again, I'm painting a rosy picture here, but a lot of times I think, again, goes back to feelings. You are hurt. Why are you hurt? Again, you know, I'll make that comment and I'll walk away. And then you're like, wait, I was hurt. Why am I hurt? Oh, because she said something about something that means the world to me.
Right.
Right. And then depending upon, you know, like the strangers, we really don't care. Like how, what they say, what they don't, because we don't have that emotional attachment with them unless they've really crossed the line. Right. But with people closer to us, with friends, with family, then it's like, hey, I need to talk. What do you need to say? Hey, what you said was not okay. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I didn't realize it. It means the world to you. You know, so every time when you are hurt, there is a reason.
Also, do you think it's important to go back and clear out stuff, or, you know, or you just feel okay, you just ignore it and move on with your life? Do you think it's important to go back and, you know, mend those things?
It depends.
Okay.
It depends. For me, and what I learned in my meditation is that you have to see things to heal them. You can't put things under the rug. You have to bring them into the open. Okay, this happened, and I feel this about it, and I can't just get over it, right? And sometimes it involves telling another person, and other times it doesn't. So again, it really goes back to you figuring out, is it worth sharing with another? Is it worth sharing? And that, again, you know, that is a discernment that you have to make.
Yeah, I think this, what you said, it made me think, what if it comes out in a very ugly way 2 years down the lane, maybe 10 years down the lane?
It does.
Right.
Sometimes 2, 10, 20, 50, 60, 80. Yeah. I mean, it does. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And then it is what it is. But you know, there are some things that have to be said, no matter how ugly they are. Mm-hmm. Because in the bigger picture, they will enable healing between two people.
Right.
So if something is that huge, because a lot of time, you know, people have traumatic experiences, sometimes they need to share that. Mm-hmm. So in the moment, it like as if the world is falling, but in the bigger picture of things, it might be the best thing you could have done.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah,
but I will just add one thing. It's one thing to, you know, like vomit on another person, but it's quite another to say, hey, I have been thinking through this for 6 weeks or 1 month or 2 months or however long you have been. And this has been bothering me and I want to share this. See, that's very different versus someone just vomiting and claiming, I blame you for this. And very different energy. So the intention with which you are going to another person, and whether you're going with the intention to blame or whether you are going with the intention to share, which in the moment may feel as if it's taking you all over the place, but eventually, hopefully, will create a healing. So, you know, it also boils down to the intention.
Also, growing up, we were never taught about, you know, boundaries, you know, about your boundaries. How do you set up your boundaries? But if there are any parents who are listening, how do you think parents should introduce healthy boundaries to their children? What do you think the starting point could be?
I think by emulating that, I mean, by showing kids what it means to have a healthy boundary. For example, you know, dad says, I don't want to go because I have work to do. And mom says, okay, I respect that. Or dad says, you know, kids learn from their parents just by observing them.
Right.
You know, so if parents, they emulate a behavior, like I remember there's one YouTube video where the mom says, oh, I've eaten all your Halloween candy. And the little guy, I think he's 2 or 3 years old, he opens the fridge and he's like, really? But why? And the mom says, but I'm so sorry. And then he comes up to her and says, but I'm not mad at you, but it's okay, mommy. And it was so endearing. But then, you know, I was looking at the comments and someone had written, I bet this is exactly how his mom talks to him when it's the other way around. Do you see what I'm saying?
Wow.
See? That when he does something wrong, his mom says, it's okay. It's not a big deal. I am not mad at you.
Right.
And so the child, by default, is going to behave the same way.
So beautiful, right.
You know, I when I saw that, I was like, Jesus Christ, like, this is worth learning.
Seriously. So, Kiran, I think that's a wrap for the, you know, setting up healthy boundaries. I think normally towards the end of the session, I ask you final 5 questions, you know. And one thing is that you have published a book. That's awesome. And you have published a book on overcoming fear and failure, a practical guide for women who overthink. What was your thought process behind writing this book on this subject? You know, we normally do not hear on something on this topic, you know, fear,
well,
overcoming fear.
Life right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's my life right there. Like, I was the queen of being afraid and being a perfectionist. And I'm like, I know this makes sense, but why can't I do it? Like, I know I take steps 1, 2, and 3. Like, mentally, I understood it. but emotionally I didn't have enough juice to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I became like, I know people say just go and do it, and yes, that's one way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for me, it was more like my fears were so intense,
mm-hmm.
for me that I could not do it. Mm-hmm. In spite of my best intention, I just could not.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really had to like decode like, mm-hmm. what's stopping me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you know, some people go from A to Z in one step. Mm-hmm. I was more the A to B, B to C, C to mm-hmm. D, and then steps right. along the way. So I had to like break down things for myself, and what I learned is what I put into the book. Because eventually, mm-hmm. I think in overcoming fear and failure, it all comes down to surrendering.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, analytical, you can't surrender, because it's a very, it comes from that. It doesn't, because surrender doesn't come from your mental faculties.
Mm.
It comes from emotion faculties.
Right.
And when you are, now you have to know, I have a physics background. So mm-hmm. I was very mental. Like I was approaching my spirituality like 1 hour this, 1 hour that, 1 hour this, mm-hmm. and then I'm done. But then emotional competence is real. And because there was no juice there, it could not fire out. Because mm-hmm. again, you surrender, everything comes from that emotional space,
right?
And hence the need to build up that emotional body, mm-hmm. which really, if you look closely, all my videos are around that, because that is really mm-hmm. the essence. You know, like if you can breathe through discomfort, mm-hmm. if you can breathe through pain, you are going to grow spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, also, because when do you know when to surrender? Like for the longest time, I said, you are so intelligent that you can't surrender. But I said, Master, oh, teach me, I want to surrender. He said, don't worry, I will. And now I laugh, because the moment I was surrendering, I literally felt that I was going to die. Because he said, you know, surrender is like falling into an abyss of nothing, but you have a mind where intellectually you're putting analysis to everything you're doing. And you know, it took me a while to come to that lesson, and now I cherish it dearly, because I've paid a heavy price for it in terms of how long it took for me to understand the importance of surrender. Some things, when they're not working out, but again, it's not a mental process. And how many times we get stuck up with, it has to work, it has to work, it has to work only this way.
Mm-hmm.
And it is such a trap. It is a consciousness trap, you know, rather than just say, you know what? So for me, it was really about, especially when I was leaving my career in IT, like my intuition had been telling, babe, it's time to move. It's time to move. It's not working. And I was so miserable, so unhappy.
Mm.
And I mean, there were so many things going on that eventually I was like, you know what? I give up. I literally had to come to that breaking point to say like, no, I give up. It's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did that, it was like a new door opened for me. So you really have to be asking yourself, like, again, are you in it for the right reasons? Are you into something, especially with the energies that we are moving into, and with this new Aquarius age, you know, that we have stepped into as of 21st December, things that worked before are not going to work now, because mm-hmm. the energetics of the planet has changed and is changing and continues to change.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you will prosper when you are really doing something with all your heart. But if you're in it just for money, just for the accolades, it's going to be a bumpy ride. Mm-hmm. At least that's an experience of a lot of people that I have spoken to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're meant to be somewhere, things just effortlessly, they show up for you. Not that you don't have to work hard. Don't get me wrong. There's still a lot of work. But it's not like you're banging your head on the wall.
Right.
Like subtle difference.
Mm.
And so Sorry, I totally forgot your question was. We went in so many tangents.
Yeah, we were talking about the same thing, going back to your book, I think, where the thought process behind your book. Yeah. So another question is, what is one of the major life lessons that you have had and you just hold on to it till date?
Definitely surrender. It was a biggie for me because I was all about mind, mental. And for me, learning to learning about my emotions, working with them, honing my intuition, trusting my intuition. You can get all the intuitive messages all day long, but if you don't trust them, you ain't getting anywhere, right? And then for the intuition to say, hey, don't do this, and then for you to say, so be to that, I think that means you have trust, intuition. And I think all of these things together led to me understanding surrender in a way that I had never had. And I have a feeling this was also one of my life lessons that I needed to master. So I'm very happy that I mastered it.
And what do you look forward to, and what keeps you going?
Oh, I have this huge desire to be of service to humanity. It keeps me going. You know, when I am down in the trenches, I have a poster here. Wait, like I'll show you. So I know your listeners won't be able to see this, but I'm showing you a poster of my why.
My why. Wow, this is beautiful.
I know. So every time, you know, I keep it like I'm down. So I have my why, and then I have my mission statement here. Again, I got it framed. And so I read it every single day before I start my work. And for me, the first thing is that, you know, I commit my life force, consciousness, and mind to be of higher service to humanity. So for me, this really speaks to my soul and heart in ways that I can't even describe in words. And I think the overall love I feel for humanity, it just boggles my mind. So that is something I it keeps me going. It wants me to show up every single day, even when my YouTube videos take way too long. I'm like, no, but there's this one person that just might need to listen to the information I have, just might make an impact. So I'll show up. It's okay, even if it takes 2 extra hours.
And you know what, Kiran? I also have, like you have written, like you have framed my why and my vision. I have this posted on my laptop. It is glued. And maybe I can test. Okay, I think the screen is covered. Maybe, it's perfect. I have a little post-it. I write my intention there. And everybody is like, what are those code words? Like, let that be. Don't take it off. So I think it just hit me. Okay, I have my post-it here. So it's like nice reminder. I think one of my instructor told me where you really have to, you know, put your intentions, see your intentions, where you want to go, see where it is coming from. So, no, it's just been a few months that it's been there. And every time I look at it, I'm like, oh God, I think I'm on the right track, maybe. Or when I slip, I go back, oh yeah. It's like that nice little reminder. And lastly, what do you want to be remembered on?
For being of high service to humanity. Wow. That I have this way, that like do something that liberates the soul of people. Because our planet has been enslaved for way too long, and it's time to break free. Like sometimes I just think and look at this planet like as if I'm on some other planet, and I'm like, what's up with that? Like the consciousness needs to be changed, and it really starts one person at a time,
right?
When one person changes, when you take a stand in your life that I'm going to do this and I'm going to positively impact through your podcast, you know, one person listens to that and then they are inspired. And then, you know, it's a chain reaction.
Right. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, it speaks very dear in my heart and in my soul.
And you know, yeah, also, yeah, I had this realization, like we constantly hear this, like everybody is unique. I don't know why, out of nowhere, I think a couple of days back, I paused for a while. Oh my God, I'm unique, really? And everything that I do is unique. And everybody and each and every person is unique. You know, we constantly hear that, but it rarely hits us. You know, a couple of days back, oh my God, I think I am unique. No, I am unique actually. And everything that I'm doing is unique. So I had this realization, wow, this is actually nice. This is actually, you know, it was an awakening moment, you know, going back to again where it started from. So I absolutely loved the conversation with you, Kiran. It was amazing. Thank you so much. It was a delight to have you on the show.
I love your questions from one person to another, just so that you know.
Thank you. Wishing you lots of peace, happiness, and success in all that you're doing. And to all our listeners, today we spoke about, you know, setting up healthy boundaries in terms of our personal and professional life and how one needs to be mindful of others' boundaries too. So the way Kiran presents her content online is amazing. I think you all should go back and check to her YouTube channel and LinkedIn. It's amazing. I think I'll put all the links in the description box. And you can go ahead and follow her and see all the amazing work that she's doing. And if you found this episode insightful and meaningful, do share it with your friends and family. And yeah, take care of yourselves and your loved ones. Remember to be a better version of yourself. Learn, grow, and spread good vibes. Thank you.
Thank you.